We're gonna do it like this for the next hour, all gospel. It's a Sunday, y'all don't go to church, so we gonna take you to church.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight Sublime. I'm doing this episode a couple of days early because I want to emphasize what the new moon truly is. Some of you have contacted me asking me about the new moon being on November 1st. That is not what the new moon means. And this is the confusion of people following that Ascension calendar, where things are moved and then they tell you it's a translation, that it doesn't mean new moon, that it means months. But if we go to Enoch chapter 78, it says the new moon is defined when the light touches the moon, when it begins to touch the moon, when it begins to shine on the moon. That is the first day. That is the new moon. If you look at the moon right now, if you have a moon app, if you look at the moon app right now, the moon is dark. There is no light being received upon it November 1st. November 2nd is when light starts to receive upon it. Now, I've been doing the months 29-30. That's how I've been alternating the months based on the new moon. And like I said before, I did not speed up time. Mentioned in scripture multiple times. Baruch mentions time would be speed up. Enoch mentions time will speed up. And Yahusha mentioned that time would speed up. So we are always going to fall 10 days behind if we continue to use the ancient way. People are trying to compensate for the 10 days by moving the definition of new moons and creating another calendar. And like I said, I had a brother on the show, or I was going to put him on the show, and I didn't, because when he showed me his calendar, I saw nothing but zodiac signs in it. So he was combining the Babylonian star constellations along with the Ascensians, and they made up this new calendar where it goes by the seven-day creation story. It doesn't say to do that anywhere in scripture. And it wouldn't make sense if we use what Enoch has taught us about the new moon. And then people get into this, oh, you're a solar worshiper. No, now you're a moon worshiper. And then they try to categorize the sun as a man. The woman is the moon, so she shouldn't have that much. I mean, it was just insanity. With all these different doctrines coming up, I'm going to stay within the ancient ways. We are already at a time where people are falling away or losing faith in this walk. I've seen it with my own eyes, and I continue to see it. I follow people right now that are supposedly in the truth. I'm not following them to learn anything. I'm following, and just how far are they willing to go to separate themselves from what the walk is supposed to be about? That's the reason why I'm following or still following these people. I want to see how far they're willing to take their stupidity, and then trying to validate their findings or their research using Babylonian star constellations, using zodiac signs, and saying, this is what the Most High said. This is what the Most High meant. I'm not doing any of that. I'm telling you what Enoch has said. I have nothing to do with the Most High speeding up time. I have nothing to do with him making it 354 when you're supposed to make it 364. He said in Jubilees that they will not be able to make it to 364. When time is speed up, how can we? Unless we move all the rules enough to benefit 364. We won't be able to do it and keep Enoch chapter 78. It'd be impossible. So the new moon is November 2nd. And then that's the first day. And then you go, you count to your seven. And then the new Shabbat will be the seventh day. That's how I'm doing it right now. I've asked the Most High over and over again and tell me, if this is the way, you have to move me and put me this way. You have to tell me this is the direction I should be going. Because after a while, I get tired of being wrong. I get tired of not being right. Because we all felt that feeling of not being right and feeling that we're not adequate enough to worship the Most High when he truly wants to be worshiped on the day that he needs to be worshiped. He even says in the scripture, he said, they will make a holy day out of a profane day and a profane day out of a holy day. Mind you, he didn't say this is how we compensate for him speeding up the time. There is no scripture that says that. So I'm going to let the Most High do his thing, and I'm going to rely on the ancient ways. Like he said in scripture, go to the ancient ways, the ancient paths. But you said, when he's talking to the Israelites, but you said you would have none of that. I say go to the ancient paths. You said no. So it's not like we haven't done this before where we try to make something new out of the old. He knows what we've been doing. He knows how we fall off. So that's why I wanted to give some correction on that. Did you see Young Thug, through all that silly trial, all that mockery and foolishness, he just walking out? Supposedly this was like the longest court trial in Atlanta's history. But I said this maybe a year ago. That's how long this was going on, I think. I said this before when he first got arrested. I said, they don't get arrested. He's doing more for them out of jail than he would do in jail. Why would they make this man put on a dress and keep him in jail? It makes no sense. They need more ministers of unrighteousness and unholiness to be on these streets teaching the young children how to act and dress feminine and be unrighteous and be unholy. They don't make money if he's in jail. He's even had a video talking about, I'm a Mason. He says it out. I think Instagram page I follow called Rabbit Season. It's like RBT. He made it. He brought the letters down to where it says Rabbit Season. It's RBT SZN, I think. ZN1 or something like that. And he posted a video where Young Thug says, I beat all of my cases. I'm a Mason. But the only thing that came out of that was this guy Woods. You didn't see no one else testifying really about racketeering, murder, drugs, and gang activity. All you know is about Woods. That guy was like, you confused me. All the questions, you discombobulating me. That's all you heard through that whole trial for that whole year is Woods. And that's just for you Negroes who can't pay attention to nothing else but entertainment. They did that for you so you can make a meme out of him and so you can distract yourself with that foolishness. That's all it was. And when the distraction was fading away, because now the election time, now they want people to get serious. Now that's when they go, okay, we'll let him go now. That's to distract low frequency Negroes and low frequency people with something until they get to the election. That's all that was. And it's kind of difficult to talk about election Republicans and Democrats because I sometimes feel like I defend Republicans, and not that I'm trying to defend them. It's just I see the BS of liberal media. I see it. All of liberal media. I'm talking about CNN, MSNBC, ABC, all of these news stations with majority of them are women being co-anchors and anchors. I see it. Oh, everything is about, oh, Donald Trump did this. Donald Trump does that. Donald Trump does. And they don't understand. People don't understand that they're watching a script. You are watching a well-narrated script. They need Donald Trump to play the racist, even though he's not racist. You could look up all the black folk and rappers that have mentioned him in rap lyrics and been taking pictures with him and idolized him. All of a sudden, we get to him being a president. Now he's the most racist person that has ever lived. And they keep comparing him to Hitler. I keep saying, every time they bring out World War II, anything World War II or anything Hitler, you know Ashkenazis are behind it. The synagogue of Satan is behind it. That is all they have. They don't even have scripture to lean on. They have nothing but World War II. I can't wait for the Most High to destroy all of these nations so I don't have to listen to another World War II story. I'm getting tired of listening to Hitler this and Hitler that and Hitler this, and no one ever wants to make the distinction that it was the American billionaires that helped Hitler rise. It was their money that kept Hitler in power. It was our own people. I ain't gonna say our own people. It was American billionaires like Ford who helped Hitler stay in power long enough with his, you know, machinery, with his vehicles, with his oil, and all these oil barons. They kept him going. If you watch the documentary, Everything is a Rich Man's Trick, America funded Auschwitz. Funded it. That's all they go off of. Oh, Auschwitz is the most, it was a death camp. They get gas, oil changer. Where do you think they got the money from? Where do you think they got the idea for that? They got that from America. I get tired of hearing about Hitler. We are lucky that the Candyman theory don't exist. Because we say Hitler so many times in this country, he should be like Candyman, just come back alive and wreak havoc. Because I get tired of people running their mouth about it and trying to compare that to Trump, knowing that's not what he is. But they need him to be the most hated man. Man been in office for 4 years. Democrats had it 12 out of the 16 years. But this man is going to destroy democracy. This man is going to put all of us in slavery. This man is going to destroy the economy. You can't destroy an economy in 4 years. You can plan destroyed over between 8 to 10 years. No way in the world one president can come in and make enough laws and making enough decisions to destroy our economy in 4 years. They've been steady going with this inflation rate and raising taxes since the 70s. They've been raising the cost of living since the 60s and 70s. And not one president has anything to do with that. There's congressmen and senators and House of Reps that been in office longer than presidents. Those are the ones who really make the laws happen. Those are the ones that really, you know, fool you into thinking things are going to change because of their term limits. It doesn't matter what those presidents are, just images. They are images to whatever mind control program they want people to feel. When Barack Obama was a president, black folk forgot about what was ailing them. They forgot that people were still getting killed by cops. They forgot that this man didn't write no executive orders for them. They forgot that this man wrote the Blue Alert Law soon as Gray, the kid from Baltimore, got beat up and killed in police custody. Barack Obama, a week after, signed the Blue Alert Law because he wanted to protect cops because two cops in New York got ran up on. So they don't really do much, but it's an image to keep you blinded. So I can see what they're trying to do with the liberalism and the conservative. I see what they're doing. It's just a business. It makes money. Because if you hate Trump, you will run to liberal media to watch all you need to hear and they say about Trump. Then you watch commercials in between that. So they got you. But if you love Trump, you hate everything that the other TV stations say. But it's a small niche for you to pay attention to certain things. And it's all mind control programming because, of course, conservative media posts different commercials than what liberal media posts. So when they get to this rally and they're like, oh, he said this comedian, he said this and this about Puerto Rico. I almost got to defend it to the fact that if you look at or you go to the news stories, they talk about themselves in Puerto Rico, how it's become a dump, how they struggle with landfill. So it wasn't he was lying. He was telling the truth. But I know this was a setup from the get-go. Why would they get a comedian that was doing or was hosting the Tom Brady roast, where everybody thought that roast was cringe? No one was really laughing. They went so hard body on that roast. Now you have to think they did that for a reason. They did that roast at that moment for a reason, because they knew they was going to bring this guy back to be that mouthpiece to get everybody upset over the truth. And you would have to think, why would they get a roast comedian at a political rally when you need votes? Why would you purposely put this guy there? Because this is the outcome they wanted. They wanted to do a whole back and forth because they had nothing else for Kamala to say or do. She was running out of steam. She'd been going back. She'd been bouncing back from Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Atlanta. That's all you ever see. Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Atlanta. Like, there's no other states that she could visit. You just seen Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Atlanta. I mean, how many times she been going there? But they need a back and forth. So that's why they put this guy there. It's so easy to see. All their stuff is easy to see. Easy. They got a guy who was at a celebrity roast going to talk political all of a sudden. He didn't even say anything political. He just started roasting people that was there. And they wanted you to bring in all the races. So they first started off talking about the economy. And you can't talk about the economy and all the promises because she was already in office. Why didn't you get these things done while you were there? So they got off the economies. All right, we're losing steam. So they waited till we get to the election, the month or weeks before the election. Now let's cram in everything that we want. Let's cram in the races because they know that's what sparks everybody's interest. That's what piques everybody's ears up, is race. So that's why they went from black men to now women's rights, and now they got Puerto Rican celebrities. That was easy to see. Let's bring in everything at once. So now all of a sudden, Freemasonic puppets like Jennifer Lopez and Bad Bunny are now having a political voice. When really, if you look at TikTok and you look at Jennifer Lopez's tour, she had to cancel that tour because nobody went. They couldn't give away tickets. They were trying to sell them tickets for $20 to $60 and no one still didn't go. They showed a video of the crowd. It was nobody there. It was no one in the stands. And I'm talking about 40,000 or 30,000 seat stadium. Because, of course, you know, they got to block off for the stage and all that. Nobody went. She's not even a celebrity star no more. But that's why they drummed up this whole Ben Affleck, divorcing, back together, divorcing. It had nothing to do with that. She was losing her star power because nobody was going to the tour. They couldn't sell out those tickets, so they came up with something to save her. Because they knew, like I said before, they planned these things out. So they knew they were going to bring her back into the fold. And all they had to do was bring up something about Puerto Rico. These people didn't care about nothing about Puerto Rico until Donald Trump said something. Or to this comedian said something. It's silly. That's how you know, in a nutshell, racism is losing its steam. Racism is in hospice with COVID. It's on its last breath. I promise you, it's on this last breath. Yeah, you see comments, but no, they're trolling comments when they talk about race or they make fun of black stereotypes. You know, it's just a bunch of cowards just blowing off steam. It ain't really real racist because they ain't out here just ganging up and putting on the sheets again and getting on a horse and riding through town no more. They ain't doing that. You don't even see real racists like Patriot Front. You don't even see them go up around black neighborhoods. At least back in the day, in the 70s, in the 60s, the KKK would show up in black neighborhoods. Now they're not doing that no more. So racism is on its last leg. They're just trying to keep it alive through Ashkenazi or the synagogue of Satan's media. That's the only reason why I still got a heartbeat, is because they are running media enough to get this psyop or get this ritual out the way, which is the election. This is why they want this civil war to pop off. They have to engineer these false flags and these little rituals and these little mind programming schemes to get you distracted. Now, what we got already, the ballot box burnings. voter intimidation stories. I talked about how votes don't matter. I still see people who follow my page that's supposed to be all about the truth and seeking the truth, and then they posting themselves going to the polls, going to vote. I mean, I don't know why these people follow me, because it's like they have selective hearing, or they want selective hearing or selective decision making. Like, okay, I know not to do this, but I want to still do this. I still feel like I should be valued in the system, and my vote should matter. It's more about ego and pride than it is actually about truth. And it becomes an insecurity issue with some of these people, where they think they have to have control over something, because now they feel like they're losing control because they're not have no control of their own life as far as their wealth, their money, and their security. Now they want to feel like they have a decision to make that's going to change something about their life. Nothing is going to change about that. Nothing. I don't care how many times you vote. It's you're tricking yourself. That's all that is. You're tricking yourself. And you'll be high off. If you vote and your candidate wins, you'll be on that high for a good 4 months until you get voter's remorse. That's all that's all you heading for. Voter's remorse. After that 4 month high goes away, now you find out again that these people have never been for you, and the laws they're about to make ain't gonna help you at all. It's to keep ushering you to the Antichrist, keep ushering to the New World Order, keep ushering you to global economy and global management. That's all that is. And people still haven't figured that out yet, because they need to touch the iron of the stove to make sure it's hot. That's a lot of people's problems. It's trying to be like, oh, I don't think this is going to burn me, but I just want to see. I know it's hot, but I want to see how hot it is to see if it will burn me. That's a lot of people that F around and find out. That's where everybody's on right now. And we joke about it and meme about it, about you F around and find out. People really trying to find out. It's crazy to me. It's like people can't skip voting. It's like you can't skip Thanksgiving, can't skip Christmas, can't skip Easter. What do you think is going to happen if you skip these holidays? You think something's going to, you know, snatch you and say, oh, why didn't you do this? It ain't going to happen. If anything, you loosen the shackles of this system. Each time you don't do what they want you to do, you loosen a shackle. And there's so many people who claim to be self-loving, they so scared to step out of the box because they don't know what real self-love is. Self-love means you don't want to be a slave. Self-love means you don't want to keep being programmed. Self-love means that I love myself enough that I shouldn't have to exert myself of dead works. And that's all those holidays are, dead works. You can't tell me you enjoy those holidays anymore, especially the way the economy is right now, and especially how people are acting ultra weird. There's no way in the world you can go and sit with your family after knowing some of the truth and not be able to share that truth with your family, and then you watch them isolate you from conversations or isolate you from their group. You can't tell me you enjoy that. And then you go out and buy gifts and Christmas gifts, trying to buy your way or earn your way back into the group. And then they don't want nothing to do with you. Then you feel exhausted for even trying to or attempt to go back into the group. Come on, man. Just let that go. Let it all go. It ain't serving you. Self-love is letting go of things that are no longer serving you. When has Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter ever put money into your pockets? When has it ever lifted up your ruach? I'm not talking about for a couple of days or the day of. I'm talking about for an extended period of time. It's almost like most people do not understand the real joy and love of Yah. And the reason why they don't understand it is because the Christian church keeps allowing people to feel good for one day, for 4 hours, and then go back to the sinning, and then go back to feeling guilty, then they go back to church to feel good for another 4 hours. It's like they need a constant reworking, a constant filler-upper. And they think that's normal. I haven't been in church, I don't know how long. I still feel joy. Even when I get through like little arguments and relationship situations or people try you and all that, I still feel joy every single day. not having stepped in a church, I still feel joy. And you know what that type of joy is? It's that joy. Let me see if I can describe it. You know, when you were a child and you went out to play, either it was recess or you just, it was a Saturday afternoon or a Saturday morning that you went outside, you rode your bike and you felt the wind in your hair. You felt the wind in your face and you just felt free. You felt, I ain't got no responsibilities. I got nothing to do but ride this bike or talk to my friends or go walking in this neighborhood. I ain't worried about nothing. I have no fear of nothing. And in that moment, you feel a complete peace. That is how you feel with the Most High when you truly feel that joy. I felt it. If I wasn't so worried about the future of my daughter or the future of my household, I do feel those. And those like tiny moments, I truly feel at peace as if I was a child, which is what Yahushua talks about. Yahushua talks about you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven if you don't come in childlike. He talks about entering the kingdom as a child. And I understand that from a perspective of being a young child and have complete peace and not worrying about nothing. Sometimes I catch those moments. I'd be like, oh, I you feel it. I can't really describe. It's an emotion. And I feel for like a good 10, 20 minutes. I'm like, man, this is what it is. This is when you follow the Torah. This is when you praise and worship the Most High the way he's supposed to be praised and worshiped. This is how it feels to exalt Yahushua. I really had nothing to worry about. I feel that peace. But people don't want to feel that when they're in religion, when they're in churches. They want to hoop and holler, fall on the ground, and do all types of speaking gibberish, and they think it's speaking in tongues, all that nonsense they do. That's tiring. How can you feel joy from that? That joy is not everlasting. It's like a heroin trip. Then you find out you need more because you felt it real quick and it left you real quick. So you go back and forth to church, sinning and being righteous, sinning and being righteous, being as lukewarm as you can be, trying to find that joy, chasing. Now to go back to finish my point about the whole election bit, there's a reason why they had Kamala Harris in the same spot as Trump was at the Ellipse, the spot of the January 6th fake false flag riot. There was a reason why they did that. Why? Because they have to validate the electoral process again. The electoral votes have to be validated January 6th, 2025. There's a reason why they did that. And I always said this, that you need to watch out for this. This, like the first one, that was just for show. That was like, oh, they getting to do this now. Like, oh, they really have a chance to take over the Capitol. They wanted it that way. That's why they used the conservative side to do it. That's why they did it, because let's face it, white folks on that side, they crazy, but they ain't that crazy. Like, it's a couple of nuts in there that was willing to go up in there and snatch up stuff, but none of them were really truly violent. They didn't go in there looking or headhunting politicians. They went in there and saw the inside of, like they were on a field trip. They went in there and started taking pictures of stuff and looking at stuff. They went in there to do nothing else. They didn't know what to do when they got in there. They didn't really have no battle plan. It wasn't like they was going to raise hell up in there. They were stealing podiums and stuff and taking pictures and smiling. They didn't know what they wanted to do. It was like a free field trip for them. But I said this before years ago on the show about this. I said, they are setting this up for the left side to go do it, because all the arguments I've been seeing online is why do they get to do it and we can't get to do it? That's why the scripture says, envy not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. But when it comes to the liberal side, when it comes to especially the Negro side, that's their argument. They're always doing these side-by-side comparisons. Oh, Dylann Roof did this. He got to eat Burger King or whatever fast food thing he ate. He got to do this. But oh, the black guy who did the same exact crime, oh, they beat him up or they shot him and they killed him. We're always doing these comparisons with white folk get to do this, but we can't do that. So I already understand what they're trying to do. If Kamala loses, of course, they're going to try to make it where She's going to make them riot and destroy stuff, and that's when you're going to see bodies fall. You didn't see bodies fall at the first one because it was all false flag. They didn't want bodies to fall. They want bodies to fall. I mean, that one woman, Babbitt, got shot and killed, but the majority of the people didn't die. They want the left side to rip up stuff, because who's been ripping and burning cities up? It's been liberals. It's been the Negro community when it comes to police brutality victims. It was them that, as soon as one black person died, let's go burn up a city. And they burn up their own city. So that this ritual falls on them. It doesn't fall on the right side. But that's what they need. They need complete chaos. I don't see them really waiting another 4 years to get to Agenda 2030 to all of a sudden trying to play this civil war. There's a reason why they dropped Civil War, right? The Civil War movie, A24 Studios dropped Civil War. It was a reason why they did that, and where all comedians start laughing about Civil War. It wouldn't make sense to me for them to waste that momentum 4 years later to do another election, trying to do all this stuff again with Trump, because they did so much of protecting him, putting him in the media, putting him in these court cases, making him the most hated man, and all of a sudden he loses and goes away. How are they going to bring that momentum back? I don't see it happening. So it makes sense to me that they should want to do this chaos now. So that's why she was at that January 6th thing. It was just too easy for me to see. And it's funny too, because we Negroes become the bedwinches, the Sally Hennings to the Democratic Party. So all you see right now is just a concert. You're not seeing them talking about nothing. She's ran out of, you know, she's ran out of word salad. She has nothing. She's just repeating all the talking points that she repeated when she goes to these cities twice and three times over. Now she has to bring in Glorilla. She has to bring in Flo Milli. She has to bring in Cardi B. She has to bring in acts that'll entertain Negroes, because they don't think you truly smart to find out what's going on with the Democratic Party. They just think you like, we need to be entertained. We need to give them the most lowest frequency people so they can idolize them. Like, these people really made it. These people, this must be something in what they're doing that makes them successful to be in a campaign for the first female president. But it's a mockery. That's what they think of you. The characters they put in front of your face, this is what they think of you. They think all black women should be like this. And that's what's keeping y'all in these curses. We are out of curses, but this is how they keep you in them. Always focusing on slavery, and while the whole time they mocking you with what they used to do with Hottentot Venus. I think a lot of you black women really need to research what they did to Hottentot Venus, how they brutalized this woman, sex trafficked this woman, made this woman get all type of STDs, and then chopped up her butt because they didn't know what big butts look like, chopped up her butts, chopped up her breasts, really humiliated this woman's remains, all for show. Y'all should look that up. The same way they treat you black women, or the image they want you black women to be, you Negro women to be, you awakened Israelite women to be, go research Sarah Bartman. Now, I wanted to close this episode and talk about lust. Now, I know the problem with men's lust. Men's lust, it has no bounds. And I'm telling you, the more you lust, the more you find yourself in a compromising or morality issue. And what I mean by that is, to put my personal front on it, when the drugs and sex and porn at the same time wasn't doing it, wasn't fulfilling, it gets boring after a while. The alcohol, sex, pills, porn, it gets boring after a while. Once you're in your house, it gets boring after a while. So what was I doing? I was going outside to have sex. I mean, I would go out at midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and be in the neighborhood having sex. Being exhibitionist. That's what I was doing. That's how far my lust was going. I would have women that would, it wouldn't be a lot of women, but I would find one woman, one sidekick that will allow me to share drugs with her. We would watch porn together. Then when the house was getting boring, we would go outside. We would get in the car, go outside, go all over the state of Florida just to have sex while being high. Now, once you reach that point, it no longer becomes fun. The high is not going to feel the same. The lust is not going to feel the same. And you're always going to come to the point where, like, when do I stop? Because the next motion after that is you turn gay. The next motion after that sex, that those sexual escapades, is if you want something more that you lust after, you'll start being curious about the ultimate sin. You'll start being curious about different sex. I'm saying I knew when to stop. I knew, like, this was enough. This was tearing my soul apart. This was messing up my ruach. This was corrupting me. I knew when to stop. I wasn't going to go in and be like, oh, let me go be gay now. I'm not saying I was doing that. But I'm saying that when certain celebrities, when you, like, Puff Daddy and all that, when you get so much time and money lusting, your only next step after that is to go for another man. Once you get that high or get that taste of that type of flesh, then you start lusting more after the men until that gets tiring. And when that gets tiring, what's your next move? It's to do children. So after that lust is over, you go into children. And when that lust finishes itself off, then you're going to be going into animals. And that's exactly was the problem in the days of Enoch, is that lust was at an all-time high that people could not satisfy themselves through their flesh unless they kept going further, further, further into bestiality. That's why scripture states in Deuteronomy, do not lay with an animal. And you know why the Most High said that you also had to kill the animal and the person who slept with it? Because after the animal has been used to sleeping with either a man or a female, it becomes attached to it. So the animal would reject its normal preference. It would then return. It would then go into humans. So it would be no use. That's why the Most High said, kill the animal and kill the person who's sleeping with the animal. But you would think, why all of a sudden would they need to do that? Because obviously it was happening. Obviously somebody was doing it. I mean, there's zoophilia parks all over this. I mean, in Europe, mostly. But there's zoos where people can go in and have sex with animals. And I'm telling you, when it comes to legalizing pedophilia, bestiality is next. And they're all going to say, oh, as long as you love, it's love. All love is love. And they already started out with these interracial relationships. It's love is love. Love is love. And that's what people keep saying. Love is love. And they're going to keep saying that until they saying it with lesbianism and they saying it with homosexuality. Love is love. And when they get to pedophilia, because pedophilia is going to want their chance in the sun, they're going to say love is love. And when somebody who really loves their pet is going to say the same thing, love is love. As long as we're not hurting anybody. So when it comes to lust, especially for men, you're going to come to a wall where your morality is going to sure enough kick in, because you're going to say, I'm not going to go to that next high. I know I'm not going to go to that next high. So I gotta fix this. Now, for females, I'm not really fond of what women lust after, other than I know you lust for certain things different from men. Like, women lust for a good, healthy relationship. Women will lust for a good man. They will lust for their particular type of man. They will lust for vacations, lust to having a good time, lust for great friends, lust for vacationing. Those things are still lust. You may not want the sexual component of the lust, but you're still lusting after those things. And when you lust after them, you'll try to break your pocketbook, break your bank account, break your feet, trying to do all of these things that you lust after because you want the experience. But some of you know that once you lusted after doing vacations, and you post all your pictures, you would have to go to another location and post more pictures. And when you're done with that location, you're chasing another location. So you'll never find the ultimate experience for your vacation or your lusting through trips. You'll never find it. Because the hole that you're trying to fill is really the Ruach telling you, like, look, I got something better for you where you don't have to try so hard. And that's what we all do when we lust. We trying too hard. And once we get what we lust for, we done with it after that. And it's because we're doing too much of the work. We're doing way too much of the work. And then that it doesn't really fulfill us because there's more work to be done. Now, when it comes to social media, and I know a lot of you have a problem, men and women, lusting on social media. Trust me, I know. When you go to the Search Explorer page, there's always your type on there. No matter how far you scroll or how many times you refresh that app, it's always somebody your type there. And the thing is, once you find your type there, it's always another type that that's like the other type when you scroll on another page. And you find yourself scrolling, jumping from page to page. Trust me, I've been there. Page to page to page to page, looking at feet, looking at hair, looking at lips, looking at eyes. And then you start fantasizing of what these women or what these men would be like if they were in your life. And I'm telling you, would be miserable because that experience would be gone and taken care of itself. Then you'll be bored and looking for something else to fulfill. So lust really has no end until you come to a morality issue with yourself, until you really come to the end of yourself. That is when you can turn and find joy. But not all lusting is bad. Not all lusting is bad. The Most High talks about lusting in a good way too. So not all lusting is bad. It's a righteous, I would say there's a righteous way to lust. Deuteronomy 14. Let me make sure. Yes, Deuteronomy 14, I'll start at verse 23 to 26. And you shall eat before Yahuwah Elohaka in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear Yahuwah Elohaka always. And if the way be too long for you, so that you are not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from you, which Yahuwah Elohaka shall choose to set his name there, when Yahuwah Elohaka has blessed you, then shall you turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand and shall go unto the place which Yahuwah Elohaka shall choose. And you shall bestow that money for whatsoever your soul lusts after, for oxen or for sheep or for wine or for strong drink or for whatsoever your soul desires, and you shall eat thereof. Eat there before Yahuwah Elohaka, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. So not all lusting is bad if it's done righteously. So what he's saying is, if I put the temple in this particular location, but where you live is too far to carry your ox, your sheep, your drink offerings, the wine, everything. If you really want to offer to the Most High, but you want to offer at his temple, and it's too far for you to go, what he's saying is, okay, sell that, sell your wine, sell your strong drink, sell your oxen, sell your sheep, take the money, bring it to my place, then you can buy your ox, your sheep, or whatever have you, and then you can enjoy whatever your soul lusts after. So if you lust after the ox, to offer it, if you lust after the strong drink, to celebrate, if you lust after the wine, to do a drink offering, whatever your soul lusts after, to worship and exalt me, this is how you should do it. He's not saying lusting after women, lusting after men, and corrupting yourself. He's saying there you need a specific righteous lust to want to do this for me. If you lust after worshiping him, then I lust after the perfect wine. I lust after the perfect meat offering or the sending smoke offering. I lust after the perfect wood to give my thanks and thanksgiving to the Most High. That's what this that's about. So I think so many don't talk about the other side, that there is righteous hatred, there's righteous love, there's righteous lust. There's a righteous way to do certain things. But we always focus on hearing that word lust and we cringe up and think, man, we can never have no fun. Because, I mean, sin is fun. Being sinful is fun. It makes you feel free and all that. But there's a heavy bill. There's a receipt that comes with that. But with the Most High, it's the same type of receipt, except there's more blessings, more righteousness, more peace, more joy, more thanksgiving. And you build up your household that way. When Yahushua talks about building it on a rock and not building it on sand or building on something that slips, that's what sin does. That's what lusting in the flesh does. But lusting in the Ruach, that's completely different. You have to think, where does Satan gets all his doctrines? How he manipulates all of his doctrines from, when it comes from the pride of life, the lusting after the eyes. Where do you think that comes from? You think I don't lust to see the face of the Most High, lust to see Yahushua, lust to feel his hand on my shoulder or his hand on my back pushing me forward? I can lust for those things because that's Ruach. That's not flesh, that's Ruach. I think there needs to be more sermons or more dividing of the scriptures through what is righteous and what is flesh, and using the same terminology to describe both, so people aren't thrown off when they hear lust or when they hear wrath or when they hear judgment or when they hear hatred. That there are righteous things to do. Like David talks about a righteous hatred. And why he was talking about that, he was telling the Most High, I said, don't I hate them, those that rise up against you? I hate them with a righteous hatred. David's saying, I don't like the fact that they're trying to say that the Most High is nobody. I don't like the fact that they think they can build a tower and go and strike the Most High. I don't like the fact that they created all these false idols to worship and they're not worshiping the true Elohim. That's a righteous hatred. Paul talks about a righteous jealousy. He said, I don't want no one to have you. I don't want you to be espoused to nobody else but Yahushua HaMashiach. I have a righteous jealousy for you. I don't want you to belong to nobody else but Yahuwah and Yahusha. Righteous jealousy. You understand? That's how we should be moving. The righteous ways of words that they're trying to make like they're the seven deadly sins. So for females, to take care of that lusting of experience, you truly have to be in tune with serving the Most High for him to show you that you can lust for the Most High as your partner. If you are single, lust for the Most High as your husband, because that's how he calls it. He says, no more call me, in Hosea, he says, no more call me Balaam, because we used to call him Lord. Call me Ishai, which means husband. He is our husband, just as much as Yahushua is the bridegroom. If you love your woman or you love your man, do you not lust after your woman, lust after your man? You should, because if you're attracted to your woman or your man, it's cool to have a righteous lusting for your partner. But when you have an Elohim that is for you and for nobody else, when you have an Elohim that will bless you and nobody else, when you have an Elohim that will move mountains for you, move plagues for you, move enemies for you, you should want to lust after his feeling, lust after his joy, lust after his peace. I'll see y'all next time.